This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
The Arcade Bell Report brought to you by Resorts World Catskills Casino. All right. If we're not very poetic about his knowledge and abilities when we bring him on, he pouts. So let the great, the wonderful, the effervescent, the sensational one, Robert Jerome Bell. Good morning, RJ. How are you?
That's incorrect. And sarcasm doesn't cut it, Dave. That's it. I'm done. That's as good as I'm going to do.
You know what? I thought Robert Jerome was as good a guess as any. So
let's just say RJ Barrett. There's no RJ in that name.
All right.
It's true.
let's get to it. So firstly, before we even start here, 4-1 in the Super Contest. I mean, you must be thrilled at that start, huh?
You know, no. 5-0 was the goal, and we were at 5-0 or 4-0 until, well, I'll just say Mr. Canty's Giants pick. Ugh. That's what swung me.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? 4-0, and he swung me.
And you're a Steelers guy, too, which makes no sense.
Yeah, but I got to be honest. I'm a pessimist with this Steelers team. But
I am
they
too.
Look pretty good.
They look pretty really good. Their defense looked unbelievable in that game.
Let me ask a quick question about the Giants. People I respect say defense actually didn't play so bad. Looking at the tape, what do you think?
Totally agree.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
The defense flew around last Monday night. They made some plays. I just think that the turnovers from the Giants' offense put them in some tough spots.
No doubt. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Chris.
No, I was just going to say the turnover that swung the momentum for good was that one on the goal line. Daniel Jones on the 19th play of the drive throws it up for grabs, and Cam Hayward picks it off. Like, I think that's when the Giants' defense gave up the ghost.
Yeah, and to me, if you look at it, three rookie coaches, 0-3 straight up, 0-3 against the spread. And if you look at the coaching matchups and say who's the better coach, they won a big chunk of those games. I think it's coaching is so key in the COVID situation.
Yeah, I think that's fair. All right, we got a lot of questions. All right, questions. Let's start with the Giants because Chris and I both like them. They're getting 5.5. It's in Chicago. Bears won, but I didn't think it looked great by any stretch. Like we said, Giants looked pretty good. Barkley was awful, and they were still very competitive against a better team than they'll see this week. I know you're going to probably disagree. Do you concur, though? Do you like
no.
the Giants getting the points in this game?
I love it. And here's
you do? Good.
I like it. Here's an approach that always works. Look at the games that could have went either way and look to fade the team that won or play on the team that lost. So Chicago could have easily lost that game. They could have lost that game handily. Now, what would this line be if that had happened? This line might be 4, 4.5. So to me, the value here is on the Giants because Giants lost in front of the world. And the Bears had this amazing comeback. And now there's Trubisky. Oh, maybe he's got momentum. No, I'm not anxious to bat first-year coaches yet. But still, I'd certainly like the Giants here.
RJ, let me ask you a question. So in week one, we did our picks. And after what I saw in that Kansas City-Houston game, I said to myself, since we haven't seen any preseason, I'm going to favor teams that can actually run the football. So I picked Tennessee. They end up screwing because, you know, their kickers just had a bad night. I mean, is that something I should still look at when I'm trying to make my picks here in week two?
I love it because if you look at it the number of attempts and the number of yards gained rushing are like the attempts are like three of the high. If it extended for the entire year, it'd be like as high as any year in like 20 years. And same thing with the number of yards. I think running quarterbacks especially are valuable. You look at Belichick, he usually leads the way. And what happened? Cam, it's almost like a college offense. And to me, the offenses that were willing to simplify did so much better than the ones that weren't. And I think looking at Tampa Bay, for example, didn't seem to simplify and obviously struggled.
RJ, that's why you're the best in the business. I love you leading me into my next question because I was going to ask you about that primetime Sunday night matchup between the Pats and the Seahawks. I mean, the Pats ran the ball 42 times against the Dolphins, and they have a running quarterback. And we saw Bill Belichick simplify things on the offensive end. How do you see that game? Because I'm on the fence about which way I should go with that matchup with the Seahawks laying 4 points.
Well, let me ask you guys, how do we account for Belichick's mother passing away? Because I
have no idea, RJ.
I have no idea. It can't be nothing, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's such a big X factor. And obviously, you know, condolences to him and his family. But looking at the game, he's the type you think it's not going to affect very much. But I think it affects anybody. I can't bet against the Pats ever, really. If you look at it from 2003 on, 60% against the spread. And literally the best other team, the number two team, is 55%. It's just shockingly good. And we talk about this all the time, but it bears repeating. Every other coach in the NFL, their stats and their wins correlate, meaning in the long run. So let's look at the Dallas Cowboys last year. They had great stats, 8-8 record. In the long run, that's supposed to even up, right, over 2 decades. The Patriots are the only team, they outperformed their stats again and again, and it's because Belichick's doing things we can't even quantify with stats. We don't even know what he's doing, so we can't even say what stats should matter. Vegas, it's the one coach that befuddles us, and how do you bet against that? But I don't want to bet against Seattle because Russell Wilson, they let him throw the ball so much more than they had in the past years. If that continues, I think that upgrades Seattle greatly. The propensity to pass, they've been running and waiting until they fall behind. If Seattle throws from ahead, Russell Wilson, I think it's a huge edge for them throughout the season. I'm passing the game.
All right, the great R.J. Bell, Randall James, joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. Niners open up as a 4-point favorites. Everyone is putting lots of money on San Francisco. That's up to a 7 number right now. I'd like to ask you about the locals. Certainly, we got into the Giants. Let me get into the Jets. Where do you lean here? Do you lean Niners traveling cross-country off a tough loss, or do the Jets have some fight after a putrid week one?
I think they're going to play hard. I don't know if it matters. And I say this as, you know, a New York fan in general of the city, but I've been, again, you know, I've been a skeptic of Sam Darnold for, what, a year and a half maybe? And I kept hearing about this and that and mono and ghost. And one day it's like, when's this guy going to play? And I heard the tape guys talk, and Greg Cosell specifically, saying he's making the same mistakes again and again. And in the third year, you just usually at that point, if they're not fixed, they don't get fixed. I don't think it's impossible Darnold becomes the 16th best quarterback in the NFL one day. I don't see it better than that. And I got to wonder about this team's morale. You know, Le'Veon Bell out. And in general, I am not going to be betting the Jets. But what the Jets do well is defend the run. San Fran wants to run. I actually have bet already the under in this game. I'm interested what you guys think of that.
So the under's 41.5?
Yeah, well, yeah. Yes, currently.
It's hard to see the Jets scoring a lot of points in this game. So
yeah, and
like
I think
that right off the jump.
And San Francisco's banged up at the wide receiver position too.
No doubt. And, you know, they signed Sanu, but you can't expect much from him so soon, I wouldn't think.
Right, and Kittle's banged up as well.
Yeah, under.
Under.
I wonder what kind of number I get. What kind of number do you get if your mom looks like Mickey Rourke? Do I get
what does that mean?
What does that do with the points?
You walk up to the teller. You're like, listen, I'd like the Niners -7, but do I get a break because my mother looks like Mickey Rourke? It doesn't work like that.
This is what I'm dealing with. RJ, let me ask you, from what you've seen in Week One. So you got a team, and you mentioned a team that, you know, maybe lost in Week One that, you know, is looking to bounce back in Week Two. What are your thoughts about Philly? Because they're at home against the Rams. It's a short number. Do you trust Philly or no?
I think I'm going to diversify my best bets this week. I had the Jags on Mr. Michael K's show, and I'm actually coming off them a little bit. I mean,
really?
I still like it, but I don't like it as much. And let me see my other choices here, because I might just go, yep. 1 second.
Take your time.
Okay. I'm just thinking. All right. I'll take the Steak and eggs. No, I'm going to go with the Eagles here. Plus one is my best bet.
Wow. This is this is on our show. Your best bet of the week. The Eagles plus the one.
And here's why. Because guys like you, I call them Barney at the bar. You're like, what? The Eagles? They looked horrible last week. Ah, that's the point. You're never as bad as you look. And keep in mind, this is a team. They got Johnson back on the line. And they had, I don't remember his name.
Miles Sanders. Sanders back too.
With the cramps. Okay. So you got two linemen back based upon, quite frankly, looking horrible with those four effectively linemen out. You get two back, and now the Rams, think about it, on Monday Night Football or on Sunday night looked as good as you can get in front of the world. Eagles looked as bad as you can get in front of the world. That's almost a default bet. But then you add in the fact that let's think about Goff. Where does he struggle? If the defensive line can get pressure and make him throw quick. Now, all quarterbacks none of them like that, but some really struggle with it. Goff is one of them. D-line for Philly played really well last week. And then additionally, you look at the Eagles with the health on the O-line getting better. Plus, and remember, this game was Eagles favored by four. When this opened.
It's been a huge swing, huh?
That's where the value is. Overreaction, Eagles plus one.
RJ, I want to ask you about the Cowboys-Falcons game because I'm thinking about getting involved in that. I'm not going to say it's a must-win because I don't think you can have a must-win in September, but I think it's a can't-lose for both teams for different reasons. When you look at the Falcons, I mean, Dan Quinn is coaching for his job, and with the Cowboys, it's championship or bust under McCarthy. And I don't know a lot of championship teams that start out 0-2. I'm leaning toward Cowboys, but how do you see this matchup?
This is one of the most shocking lines I've seen in a while. Now, let's think about this. Dallas, their over-under win total for the season was 10, right? And the over-under for Atlanta was 7, all right? So literally, Dallas was like the sixth highest win total in the league, and Atlanta was well below average, right? 7-8 average, right? 7. And now the line in this game, now let's account for the limited home field. Yes, it's 4.5. So let's call the home field 2. So you're saying 2.5 points Dallas is better than Atlanta? And Atlanta looked horrible. Atlanta's defense is as bad as it gets. Dak's looking to get off the schneid. I really like Dallas here. It feels too obvious, but I really like Dallas.
All right, let me ask you this. And R.J. Bell, Robert Jr. Bell joins us here, 98.7 ESPN, as he does every Friday at 10 o'clock. Is it normal or is it kind of the times that we're in that the spreads change so much? So I'm looking here, R.J., on pregame.com, your great site. We talk about the Rams were 4. Now it's they were plus 4. Now they're giving 1. So it's a 5-point swing, right? You have the Cowboys open at 7. Now it's down to 4. Niners open at 4. Now it's up to 7. Is that normal? Like, are these huge jumps because of what's going on, or is this normal during a regular season?
Two things. One, this year they had week 2 up for quite a while. So week 1 usually comes out in, like, June, and then the line moves happen month after month after month. So you just get bigger line moves, and obviously there's more news that comes out where, you know, quarterbacks get hurt, et cetera, thus, big line moves week 1 from the openers. This week, week 2 was up a couple weeks ago, so there's been that much time. But remember, if there's any week of the NFL, maybe ever, that rightfully caused a reevaluation of how good these teams are, is week 1 last week. Why? COVID is unlike anything we've ever seen, the lack of prep time, and oh, look, this team did great, this team did horribly. I don't want to overreact, but you've got to account for these games more than any. Think about it. Week 12 of a normal season, the game doesn't tell you hardly anything, hardly most games. But this game, I think it tells you a ton.
RJ Bell joins us here on the show. RJ, last one for me. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, I mean, he looked unbelievable in week 1. They're going up at home against the Lions. What are your feelings on this game, Packers given 6?
I love the Lions, and now I'm backing off just a little. And the reason being, and again, I do really respect the guys that watched the All-22, And the take was, oh, Aaron Rodgers looked outstanding. Now, I know you could say, look at the stats, look at the results last week, look at the points. But sometimes quarterbacks play, you know, like Brady, for example, the word is, other than the interception or two, which, again, is a big mistake, he played pretty well, right, where it wasn't a catastrophe. Though it's interesting and amazing, 43-year-old year. So, you know, the year that you're 43 as a quarterback in the NFL, in the history of the NFL, there's been one quarterback to win a game. Vinny Testaverde. No other quarterback has ever won a game 43 or older in the NFL history. So as much as we're saying, oh, Brady's going to be okay, we truly are in uncharted territory. Now, Brady is, I think, uncharted with his health. So just touching on that game quickly, doubling back here, I think the Lions, again, imagine if that game had gone same flip side with the Bears, right? If the Lions win that game by 14 like they easily could have, what's this line? Because remember, the Lions had a surge in support to win the division. They were 9-1 to win the division. It closed about 4-1. So a lot of action on the Lions. And I think in general, you got a team that's got to be focused. I don't think they've given up yet, and the Lions. And I think, let's be honest, Aaron Rodgers tends to have intermittent effort levels, right? He's a guy that's so talented that historically it's been hit or miss. We're getting a touchdown or 6.5 now. At 7, I certainly will be betting the lines.
RJ, in true company man fashion, I'm going to ask you about the Monday night game on ESPN, Saints visiting the Raiders. It's a 5.5. The Saints are laying the 5.5. I wasn't impressed with the Saints offense. And now with the banged up Michael Thomas, I don't know about this one. How do you see this game playing out?
Michael Thomas in Vegas is one of three players that are non-quarterbacks that are worth 1.5. Oh. So no one else is worth more. One of the three most valuable players.
What are the other two?
McCaffrey from Carolina. And amazingly, Aaron Donald, defensive player. That sounds right, don't you think?
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. It's just surprising you'd have a defensive player worth 1.5.
Well, I mean, he disrupts the entire...
He's great.
Defensive player.
Yeah, no doubt. So, to me, I actually like the Raiders here. Now, I'm a little apprehensive about it, and here's why. Carolina was the worst possible COVID team, with a new coach, a DC who had never coached in the NFL, 8 new defensive starters, new quarterback. I mean, it was like the full Monty. And somehow they, you know, that Raiders pick last week, or Raiders odds, went from the Raiders getting points on the road to laying 3.5 at different points. And they just covered the spread. But man, it felt lucky kind of. But the reason the Saints, I don't want to bet here and I want to bet the Raiders, is with Thomas out, wide receiver, the line hasn't really moved. And it's really like everyone's asking themselves what's going on here. And I think it's just there's so much expectation the Saints are going to get that Monday night square action. They just don't want to lower the line. I think this thing could get to 6, so I would wait on it. But Raiders, even plus 5.5, will be a pick of mine.
All right, before we let you go, RJ, and I know you'll be on with me tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock here on 98.7. Chris, do you have your three games for RJ to select the one?
Yeah, I've got my three games, RJ. I've got the Cowboys laying the 4.5. I've got the Giants plus 5.5, and the 49ers laying the 7. Which one you like? Got
to go with Dallas here, baby. Dallas, Dallas, Dallas.
How about them Cowboys?
All right, and listen, I know I was, you know, undefeated with you guys. I mean, we didn't mention it, but, you know, my easy. You know, when you're plus 7 and you win outright, yeah.
You say undefeated. You went 1-0.
No, I'm saying with you guys. Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
That is
all
undefeated,
right.
Dave.
Well, you're either winless or undefeated. So,
right beside it says 1,000 when you look at it in
you,
the
you
standings.
You did great. We're very proud of you.
No,
RJ.
You know what's funny, though? Literally – you know how tough it is to win just one year? First year winner, second year winner, third year undefeated. And Dave's like, do something to impress me.
He's got high expectations for you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This is why you're in the show for an hour every Saturday.
It's like the RJ Bell show.
Hey, well, what do you get? If I took 1/6 of the salary, how would that be?
That'd be terrible.
Dave's loaded.
I do it for the love of New York City.
That's right.
RJ, let me ask you one quick one. Just quick.
Quick.
Are the Ravens one of those teams that you just, I mean, that you can end up riding this whole season with how good they played?
I think so. If you look at the ATS margin last year, and obviously forget the playoffs, and that's a big factor, no doubt about it, when it comes playoff time. But their ATS margin from like week four on, week five, was the best we had seen over that span in decades. I mean, like, shockingly, and, you know, against the spread margin is expectation. For example, with my Arizona winner, when you win the game, you would say, well, the 7 points plus the margin would be the ATS margin, Dave. But it was outstanding. The fact that they lost in the playoffs again, I think it just sours everyone on them. But in the regular season, I'm not sure that's justified. And I'll be candid with you. I believe that them losing has them on a mission. We certainly saw that in week one.
All right, RJ, great stuff as usual. We got you locked down now. You have Philadelphia plus the one as your pick of the week. And in cahoots with Chris, you have Dallas minus 4.5 against Atlanta.
And don't sleep on Chris and me. First week, how'd you do the other two picks, Chris?
I was 0-2.
Oh, okay. All right. So really, you dealt me a hand that I couldn't win, really.
He gave you the 13 against the against the 20, yes.
All right, well, we're going to turn it around.
All right, good stuff. We'll talk to you in the morning. All right, that, of course, is RJ Bell. The RJ Bell Report brought to you by Resorts World Catskills, featuring live table games, thousands of slots, and Sportsbook 360. Your closest resort experience, Resorts World Catskills. We're open. Come play. Now, today on ESPN Daily, after knocking out the Clippers, the Denver Nuggets tip off against LeBron and the Lakers in the Western Conference Finals. Zach Lowe breaks down the series. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's bring him in. One of our favorites, the great Paul Feinbaum, joins us here on 98.7 ESPN. Paul, every time we talk to you, we're closer and closer to a full college football season. This past week, we found out that the Big Ten will play. At what point do we find out, if at all, that the Pac-12 is going to suit up and play some football this fall as well?
That may be today. I mean, the same leagues that told us it wasn't safe 5 weeks ago are saying, hey, we are ready to play. It's truly one of the most stunning turnarounds I've ever seen. But, you know, their decisions way back in August did not make a lot of sense at the time. I'm not saying, you know, it's safe to play or it's not safe to play, but they made the decisions prematurely. And they caught a lot of flack. They saw football being played everywhere, and they decided, why not us?
Paul, I know the commissioner of the ACC said that they're, you know, at the moment, they're happy with their testing protocols, but you already had three games rescheduled. I mean, Paul Feinbaum, are you okay with their testing protocols right now in the ACC?
Yeah, I mean, they're going three times a week. I saw where Nick Saban said he's going to do it every day. Coaches hate testing for this reason. Not that this was an important game on the calendar, but tomorrow Charlotte was supposed to play North Carolina, which is ranked in the top 12. I interviewed the Charlotte coach last night, and he had one positive on Monday. However, because of contact tracing, it ended up affecting about 15 players, including his entire offensive line, and he had to cancel the game. So, you know, it's interesting. I saw a minute ago the Florida Atlantic and Georgia Southern were canceled. Isn't it interesting how all these smaller schools are canceling? Tell me, I want you guys to break into programming when Alabama or Texas or one of the or Clemson actually canceled the game because of this. I mean, I don't know. I'm not being a cynic. Yes, I am being a cynic.
But yeah, you are.
The guys that don't forget Ed Orgeron from LSU said the other day, "Hey, most of our guys have had it. You know, I hope none of them get it again." that's the world we live in.
Yeah, it was cringeworthy hearing Kevin Warren talk about the motivation to start the season on October 24th, about the kids pursuing their dreams of getting a degree and competing at the highest level. We all know it's about money, Paul. But going back to the Big Ten's decision a few months ago to postpone the season, you had several players across the Big Ten opt out, including preseason All-American Sean Wade, who now apparently is back in. He said that he hired an agent, but he didn't sign any paperwork. Is there any concern from the NCAA on the compliance front and making sure that these guys didn't receive any benefits that would make them ineligible to return?
I bet there is concern, but after watching college football and college athletics the last couple of weeks, if the NCAA dares to keep someone out because they may have taken money from an agent, they may as well just shut down. I mean, what's really going on now, guys, is that college football is professional football. And I talked to a commissioner the other day, and he said, you know, the most important thing is getting our student athletes back on the field. I mean, that's a crock. It always has been, but let's quit pretending. And that's where I think the NCAA is in a really tough spot. They can't legislate this. If Wade took $1,000, he can offer to pay it back. Like, you know, I mean, that's just the nature of the industry right now. That's, you know, students aren't on campus, but games are being played. This is professional football, and you know, I don't mind if these guys would just quit using that phrase "student athlete." We could live with it, but until then, they're making a farce out of it. And you know, the interesting thing, and you never know how this is going to turn out. It could turn out that we look back and go, "Man, the Big Ten got it right initially, and then they caved." Because does anyone know where this is going week to week? And back to your original question a minute ago, you are going to see games, diluted games. You're going to see, you know, teams like Alabama's playing Missouri next week. It's a mismatch. Missouri is going to be without 12 players. Now, is there any team that didn't I mean, if Alabama was missing 12 players, then maybe the line would come down to just 14 or 16. But yeah, I mean, the wrong team's missing the players, and I think you'll see that. I think you'll see mismatches all season long. I think at the end, when teams are getting destroyed, you may see major opt-outs. But, hey, if you're a college football fan, you're getting what you want.
Right. You have some semblance of college football. Paul Feinbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So I'm scouring the games to ask you, because I want to actually talk a little bit about the on-field product. Is Miami-Louisville the game of the week? Is that the best game in your mind that we have in this week of college football?
I mean, it is because of the SEC, because of three Power Fives not playing, you got really bad games. And Miami at Louisville, which is an okay game, but it, by no means should that be the best game of the weekend, third week of the year. But it is. It's really the better question for you is, what's the second, third, and fourth best game?
Yeah,
I think that Clemson Citadel game is going to be a barn burner.
Yeah. You see the spread on that, Paul? Clemson is favored by 46 in that one.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's enough. As somebody who covers college football, I'm happy they're all coming back just so we don't have any more weekends like this, because I mean, there is literally nothing to talk about other than the Heisman Trophy race.
We'll get love it.
Don't start with me, Paul. Don't start with me. But, Paul, I got to ask you this question. I'm watching the Duke-Notre Dame game last weekend, and I was just not impressed with the Fighting Irish. Are they false flagging, or is Duke just better than what we thought?
I think a little bit of that. I think it's Notre Dame. I just don't think they really cared. I interviewed Brian Kelly the other day, and they just gave him a lifetime contract. I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with that picture. But, Notre Dame essentially has a one-game season, and it's November, whatever, 8th against Clemson at home. And I don't think they'll be tested until then. And if they can, even if they don't win that game, they might still have a shot of a rematch. But that's just I think they're a good team. I just don't think. To me, in college football this year, now with Ohio State, you basically have three teams: Ohio State, Clemson, and Alabama. And after that, who's next? Oklahoma might get in the playoffs because they have a one or two game season. Georgia's pretty good. Florida's got a chance, but this is not a Penn State maybe, but. By the way, this has been the same story now for about 5 years. I mean, we basically have three or four teams every year that are cut above the rest. It's not that hard to pick them. Last year, LSU was a little bit of a surprise, but they were still a top 10 team preseason.
Paul, so what? I mean, I wanted to get a chance to ask you this. What did you think about the Big Ten's plan to return and how the schedule was going to be laid out and everything else?
Well, they still haven't given us a schedule, but one thing we do know. the schedules will be the eight. Let's see, it's an eight plus one. Listen, have you? I don't know if you've heard about this yet, but so if like Ohio State will play six divisional games. That's Penn State, Michigan, the usual suspects, and then they'll play two from the other side. But on the final weekend of the season, guys, that's where when the championship games are being played. In every other league, if you don't win your division, you go home, get lost. The Big Ten on the championship weekend, which is December 19th, they'll have the, let's say it's Wisconsin and Ohio State. They are also going to have, this sounds like something you did like in Little League ball. They're going to have 2 versus 2 from each division, 3 versus 3 all the way down to 9 versus 9. So we conceivably could have a game between, let's say, Northwestern and Rutgers on the final day of the season for 9th place overall.
It's a good thing they won't allow fans into that game.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. And by the way, the Rutgers president, his name is Holloway, Dr. Holloway, a week ago he was blasting the SEC saying, you know, they're craven and crass for playing, and now his team is playing. I mean, Rutgers might be the biggest loser in all of this. I mean, they had a chance to escape a season without 8 or 9 losses.
All right, Paul. Listen, we appreciate it. We will talk to you next week. Hopefully, the games will be a little bit better heading into next week, and we can focus on the Heisman Trophy.
You got Alabama at Missouri next week.
There you go.
Hey, Dave, hold on 1 second, quick. Paul, let me ask you a question because we mentioned it earlier, and I wanted to ask you, and I totally forgot. I mean, is that the way that Ed Orgeron answered that question? Is that, I think our whole team got it like so cavalier and nonchalant. Is that the overwhelming feeling from college football coaches in the SEC?
Yes. by the way, Texas Tech in the Big 12, it came out the other day, they've had 75 players. I bet if you go up and down the top schools in the country, Clemson, Alabama, you can throw Texas Tech in, there's LSU, you would see 50, 60 plus at all these. And, you know, they can talk all, hey, it's safe, they're in a bubble, but deep down, if you gave them truth serum, I would be willing to bet you these coaches have no objection at all to these players getting it, just so they won't have to deal with it once the season starts. So still have to deal with it in smaller part. But I mean, I have friends of mine whose kids play SEC football, and they were telling me this in June and July that the kids were laughing about it. I mean, I hate to say that because I know how many people are listening who have suffered mightily, who have lost spouses or parents or children or who knows what, but that's just the way it is down here.
It's sad. And you know what? There's no, we have no idea if you can get it again. So this whole laughing thing is just, it's unbelievable. Paul, we appreciate it. We will, we'll talk to you next week. Good stuff as always.
Always enjoy it. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you so much. SNY 98.7 ESPN have a Jets prize package for you. Tune into SNY TV, home of the Jets, for the Jets post game live with Bart Scott, Jonah Schwartz, and Jeannie Coakley. Following Sunday's game against the 49ers, catch the Jets quote of the game, then tune into our show on Monday starting at 9 a.m. for your chance to win official Jets merchandise, courtesy of 98.7 ESPN and SNY Jets Post Game Live, only on SNY. Now, we want to remind you as well, you can listen to us anywhere. Just click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN at 98.7 ESPN New York. We go where you go. Now streaming Disney's new movie, Mulan. Experience the legend of Mulan as she fights to defend her family and the kingdom. Available to Disney Plus subscribers who unlock premiere access. All right, so we're going to make our picks. Let's just recap where we are after week one. I went 2-1, and I am the front runner through 1 week of our selections. Chris went 1-2, and Rick, thanks to Steven Goskowski, who was the most accurate kicker in the history of football heading into the game, and is now the 9th most accurate kicker in the history of football, leaving the game, went 0-2-1.
Yeah, just give me an extra point. All I needed was the extra point. That's it.
Yeah, you were right there.
Just make it 3.
0-2-1. Now, RJ's game of the week, Philly plus 1. Chris and RJ's collaboration game, Dallas minus 4.5. All right, Rick, you want to start with your 3 selections of the week?
Not really.
Well, go ahead.
I really would rather not. All right, here you go, David.
All right, Richard.
Now, what is the thought process here? Because I asked the question about Philly, so I like Philly. Am I still allowed to take Philly?
Yes.
Yeah, you could take Philly.
Okay, because I don't want to get yelled at for taking Philly, and then you guys get mad. All right, so I will start. I'm going to take I'm going to take Philly plus the one.
All right, so you got Philly plus the point.
I got Philly plus the point.
Yep, against the Rams at home.
I'm going to buy into what you guys are selling. I hate to do it, but I'm going to buy into it. I'm going to take the Giants. I'll take the Giants plus the 5.5.
Giants.
Hey, now.
The 5.5.
Yeah, I mean, I'm buying it. You guys somehow talked me into it.
Now, here's the thing. And, Chris, what? I think you need to be on the same page as me. If the Giants lose by 6 or more, you cannot come screaming to us.
No, that's exactly. I mean, I'm building.
I know
excuse.
That's what you're going to do.
Exactly.
So either we give you a free pick or you go crazy on us. That's not fair.
No, that's very fair. I told you.
No, it's not.
I do not want to be. Yeah, what do you mean, no, it's not?
No, he can, Dave. He can. Because if the Giants go up to Chicago and stink up the joint, then it would be clear that you and I are both drinking the blue Kool-Aid and we're selling Rick a bill of false goods. So, yeah, he's absolutely within his rights to blame us if the Giants don't at least cover in this game.
All right. Go ahead, your third pick.
Unless you don't want me to take that game, because if you don't want me to take that game, I can switch it.
No, take the game. I just don't want to be blamed if you lose it. But go ahead.
No, you get. And then I'm going to finish it off with I'll take Baltimore minus the 7.
Baltimore minus the 7. All right. So your three picks are Philly plus 1, Giants plus 5.5, Baltimore minus the 7. Chris, what you got?
I'm also going to partake in the Giants going up to Soldier Field. I'm going to take them plus the 5.5 points. I am going to take R.J. Bell's advice and go with the Dallas Cowboys laying the 4.5 against the Falcons because I just don't think Atlanta's that good. And then despite the injuries, I'm still going to roll with the Niners flying across the country and beating the Jets by at least a touchdown. So I'm going to take the Niners and lay the 7.
No one is more down on the Jets than you. Like, as bad as they were, I think you're leading the charge of how down you are on the New York Jets. Right?
That's fine. I'll be that guy.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad guy
to be.
Choose
a safe bet when you're going against Adam Gase.
I could not agree with you more. I will make it a trio. You know I like the Giants. I think they're going to win outright. I'm not just plus 5.5. I think the Giants are going to win this game outright against the Bears in Chicago. Tyrod Taylor looked awful the other day. I get Kansas City laying 8.5. I'm going to take the Chiefs. I think they win that game by double digits. And I was impressed. I'm sold. I think Roethlisberger is back. Whether it's Connor, I don't think is great, or Snell, whoever it's going to be, I think Pittsburgh finds their way to a bigger win than 7.5 points. So I'll take the Steelers. So I'm going Giants plus 5.5, Kansas City minus 8.5, and Pittsburgh minus 7.5.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.